So are we all ready for Christmas? Some of you are. Some of you look very tired, which probably means that you've had a few late nights packing presents or worried about the big day. But it's all about Jesus. We say that at church all the time, but it is all about Jesus. But let's go back now. Let's go back 2,000 years. And if you were going to make a big announcement about a royal birth, and if you were like PR or marketing, you would probably call on all those news agencies, wouldn't you? You'd call on the BBC. You'd go on Sky News. You'd have those things, breaking news. Have you noticed? Everything is breaking news these days if you watch the news. It's like, oh, someone has come outside for the first time in 2 days, breaking news. Or, you know, you'd get those exclusives with Hello or OK magazine to broadcast this great news, those exclusive photos. But can you notice how the birth of Jesus was announced? Have a look down with me at verse 9. It was an extraordinary announcement to ordinary people. An extraordinary announcement to ordinary people. You can see, can't you, in verse 9, that it was an angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Those that they're speaking to at this point are the shepherds. But the angels were messengers. The angels were amazing. But that should not surprise us, because the one who is more amazing than the angels was God himself, who gave this message to the angels to broadcast. And we're told that the shepherds were terrified. Can you see that at the end of verse 9? As the glory of the Lord shone around them, the shepherds were terrified. You see, shepherds... Don't know how much you know about shepherds. Maybe it's one man and his dog on the BBC. And that our picture. Or you may have this picture of these guys that we had this morning who ably did their job. But shepherds were pretty dirty. You know, they were working the land. They were living amongst the livestock. You probably wouldn't want to sit next to them in church. You'd kind of, you know, you'd encourage them to get down to Boots to get some deodorant and to wash their hands and to smarten up, because they were pretty grubby people, pretty smelly. However, that's only half of to understand the shepherds. Also, they were seen not just in a kind of an outward way dirty, but they were also seen in a kind of internal way, quite dirty as well. They certainly couldn't go near the heartbeat of the town or of the place of worship of the temple, and so they were far away. They were far away from people, but they were far away from God, and they were totally cut off. Therefore, it is amazing to notice how God speaks to those that seem far away, that seem dirty physically, but more so internally, that they were far off, that they certainly didn't have their house in order, if they did have a house at all. So this morning, these words that we read as we see the shepherds should be an encouragement to us all. They should be an encouragement to us all, because if you feel like an outsider this morning, you are in good company. You're in good company because, you know, one of the stars of the show this morning, the shepherds, were dirty. They were outcast. They felt far away from God. And they often felt far away from what was going on in the world around them. So we have, firstly, an extraordinary announcement to ordinary people. But also, it was a joy like no other. Look at verse 10. Look what it says in verse 10. The angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So it was a message of great joy that the angels brought. It's always with great joy, isn't it, when you hear about the news of a baby being born. A friend of mine had a baby yesterday, and it was, you know, the parents were on cloud nine. You know, you look at them and, you know, mum and dad are there and the baby's there and, you know, mother looks, has seen better days, but who can blame her for that? You know, she's been in labour for, you know, a long time. But hey, you know, when you hear about a baby being born, it does bring lots of joy to the parents, lots of joy to the extended family, and lots of joy to those friends that you share that news with. So there's lots of joy all around for many of us as we've experienced either a loved one giving birth, or we've enjoyed that experience of holding that newborn baby. And then, you know, I just think back to the last 8 or 10 years, you know, when I had my two girls, you know, there was balloons all over the house full of helium. There were nappies, buttermilk. I don't know what buttermilk does, but hey, buttermilk was there. I think it's for the bottom, and that's for the baby. There's nappies and thousands of photos being taken. There's just joy all around. But you see, the joy that the parents feel doesn't last very long, because there's the lack of sleep, there's the tantrums, and that's just the dad, there's the nappies, and then there's that kid's music that you feel you have to play in the car because it's the right thing to do. But how many times can you listen, pull up with that CD that drives you crazy? And then you get the baby talk at breakfast and lunch and evening meals, and then those birthday vouchers which are for mother care. Joy, joy, joy. But here in our passage, we're told that there was joy not just for a few, but for all. There was just a few people at the start who knew about the significance of this new baby. We see earlier on in chapter 1 where Jesus' cousin John, we're told, leaps for joy in the womb on finding out that he's going to have a cousin, and no ordinary cousin at that. And then at the end of chapter 1 in Mary's song, We hear and we read that Mary, chapter 1, verse 47, Mary was full of joy. And so we see the message of joy is seen in the birth, but throughout the whole of Jesus' life. And we'll see that this is so because in verse 11, he's described as Messiah and Lord. So this was no ordinary birth. And this message was a message we can look back on and see that the message could be trusted and the promises made were delivered upon, that he was Messiah and that he was Lord. Now, at Christmas time, how many promises are we given? So I turn on my TV yesterday. And obviously I'm missing out because I just don't have Sky. I just don't have the latest Sky package. Because if I had the latest Sky package for my TV, my Christmas would be complete. I'd have all the latest HD equipment. I'd have all the programs that I'm not getting at the moment that would just make my life complete. There's one promise. Or how about John Lewis? John Lewis and the advert and what the promises they make about Christmas. So this year, John Lewis is all about Moz and Joe. Have you seen it? The John Lewis advert with Moz and Joe. They strike up a friendship. Mind you, one of them is a big, ugly bear. Never mind about that. But they strike up a friendship, and the ugly bear, or whatever it is, sleeps under the bed. And then in the story, we've got Elbow covering one of the Beatles songs, Golden Slumbers. And then one of them does a windy poop or pop, whatever you call it, under the closed bed, and there's a little bit of giggling. And at the end, it's like John Lewis. Oh, this is what Christmas is all about. Promises, but I wonder if those promises are delivered. And then last but not least, Kevin the Carrot. Do you know about Kevin the Carrot? Well, let me tell you about Kevin the Carrot. Kevin the Carrot forms a romance, not with anyone, but with Katie the Carrot. Kevin's life is complete when he meets Katie the Carrot. They fall in love. Not only do they fall in love, but they exchange gifts. Do you know what gifts they exchange? Carrots. And you know what? Who brings us that message? Good old Aldi. So Aldi, tell us that they will make our Christmas. Promises. But I wonder if those promises are delivered. The promise we get this morning is a promise that Jesus is Messiah and Lord. And the message that the angels gave wasn't shallow, wasn't empty, but it was a promise that could be relied upon. So let's just look at the message for a moment. And the message can be described in five letters. P-E-A-C-E. The message of peace. Look at verse 14. These are probably the best known words in the whole of the Christmas story. The angels praise God and they say, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When we think of peace, we've got all kinds of ideas, haven't we? So in the kind of big scheme of things, we're looking for peace in the world as we see nation against nation and a cause against another cause. And we wish, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful this Christmas time if there was peace on earth? Or for some of us, when we think of peace, we think of a quiet couple of hours on Christmas Day. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Take note, girls. But the peace here is far more than that on a global, eternal scheme of things. But this morning, it also relates not in a big sense to the world, but it relates to you and it relates to me. Because all of us are looking for peace. We are looking for peace because within us, we are battling. We are battling in so many ways. We battle, for instance, on how we think, what we think, how we view others, how others view ourselves. We also have battles with God. As we wrestle with God and we think, hey, I think I know better than you, God. And that's the best. Often, we give no look and have no conversation with God. And so instead of God ruling us, we rule ourselves. And so the message of Christmas is the battles that we have within and even the battles that we have externally. If Jesus is in the equation, things take on a different meaning. You see, God sent Jesus to be, the Bible says, our mediator. He's our go-between, between us and God. There's a great carol. We haven't sang it this morning, but it's these words. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Reconciled. You see, because we are at war with ourselves, we are at war with each other, whether that's obvious or not, but ultimately, we are at war with God. You see, the non-religious person will say, I can get peace my way. I will deal with it my way. The religious person says, I can get peace through doing things for God. But the Christmas message is that God has given us a free gift in Jesus. Christmas reminds us that this gift is this baby Jesus. You see, this gift can't be earned, or this gift of Jesus, it actually needs to be received. And so this morning, if you are the religious person, or if you are the non-religious person, there's nothing that you can do. Simply receive this gift. The gift gives us peace with God. So this morning, can I encourage you to be like the shepherd? I've started this morning by saying we are like shepherds. We are smelly. Not joking. But, you know, we are like shepherds. Often we do feel like outsiders, and that's with God as well. But notice how the shepherds finished in our chapter, verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, this morning, I wonder if we will leave praising God, if we will leave knowing God and knowing this great gift of Jesus. An amazing gift that we simply need to trust God. So let's pray and let's speak to God. Father God, thank you so much this morning that we can know you through Jesus. We thank you that as we read about the Christmas story, we can see much of who we are in the shepherds. But Father, again, we thank you for this glorious message, the glorious message of peace that reconciles us with God. Amen.